Hello and welcome everyone. This is Dr. Rita Marie Loscalzo and I am excited to be here with another module. It's the neurotransmitter testing module. Got a whole disclaimer thing that this is not intended to replace one-on-one relationship with a qualified healthcare professional. This isn't medical advice. This is education from my knowledge base, my clinical experience base to you. And if you are looking at this for yourself rather than just working with clients, really do make sure that if you are under the care of a medical practitioner that you do so in partnership or at least get on the calls and ask questions so that we can clarify anything before you move forward. Now we have an understanding of the major ones that you're going to see issues with are serotonin, dopamine, GABA, and acetylcholine. So I would recommend that you really get familiar with those. Study the neurotransmitter assessment that I gave you. If you want to get a good book, I really recommend if you're only going to get one book, try The Edge Effect, because I really like the way he describes it. Although I really do like The Depression Free for Life by Gabriel Cousins. And I have a whole big stack, and I gave you a whole list of lots of others. But if you want to get into the science of the neurochemistry and the neurotransmitters, those are really good ones for you. Braverman, I love his book. It's really good, and he has some really nice questionnaires. And it's great. You know what it's good for? It's like, even if you don't have a problem with depression, that you get an idea of what your type tendency is, so that you know that, I tend to be a GABA type, because he has this way of typing yourself. I tend to be a GABA type, so these are some of my characteristics. And so you know that if you let yourself get out of balance, and you'll talk about the things that will throw GABA types out of balance, then you may end up with anxiety or depression. So it's a really nice book in terms of really understanding the chemistry, working with people, but also understanding yourself a little bit as well. When you're assessing people for neurotransmitter imbalances, basically, are they eating these foods? Do they feel better when they eat certain of these foods? Are they having trans and heated fats? Those can affect the neurotransmitter productions. Brain trauma, right? Pesticides, preservatives, caffeine. And I've tried to list some of the issues that can result from caffeine can cause anxiety and depression. Sleep deprivation can create Alzheimer's, psychosis, depression, ADD, learning and memory problems, weight gain. Alcohol can be precursor to dementia and B vitamin depletion for really sure. Processed grains have a lack of B vitamins, and you need those to synthesize your neurotransmitters. So if the person's eating a lot of processed grains, then they're likely to have problems not only with their neurotransmitters, but with their hormones as well. Inflammation affects the precursors and the way that the body utilizes them. And then, of course, the prescription and the drugs that we talked about. So these are some of the things that affect the neurotransmitters. So when you're doing your history with people, go through this list and see which of these possibilities can be hurting them and help them to see the light and change that. Cocaine blocks the reuptake of norepinephrine and dopamine. Okay, we saw that in that picture, right? The cocaine gets in there and blocks that. Amphetamines stimulate the release of norepinephrine and dopamine at the synapse. So these are how these drugs have their effects and why people get addicted to them. There are nutrient deficiencies. We've covered some of them so far. These nutrient deficiencies can lead to neurotransmitter imbalances, either because they are cofactors for conversions or they're protective. So B1, B3, folic acid, B12, and B6. And I will add folic acid. Whenever I write folic acid, take it away and write 5-MTHF, 5-methyltetrahydrofolic acid. Okay, folic acid is generally synthetic, and it can interfere with the body's ability to utilize and create the 5-methyltetrahydrofolic acid that it needs. People with methylation issues, the MTHFR mutation, or I like to call it a SNP because a mutation, I quite frankly think that was there first. People who have what's considered normal are really the ones that we used to be because we didn't need to have such high levels, but that's just a theory. It's just a theory. Because 40% to 50% of the population is estimated to have that defect. And I've looked at lots of genetic tests, and quite frankly, it's really rampant. So folic acid and MEP and B12 should be in the methyl, but again, if you have some of these nutrigenomic things that going on, that will, some people can't tolerate the methyl groups right out. You have to put them on hydroxy or adenosyl B12, because otherwise you shoot too much through the pathways and you start to create buildups that they can't handle because they have other genetic imbalances. B6 is critical. And I like P5P. Some docs say, well, I don't see a difference between P5P and regular. P5P is the activated form. of the B6. Vitamin C, D, and E, really super important. Antioxidants, C and E, and that helps to protect the neurons and protect the neurotransmitter at the synapses, and D is important. Low levels of D can create depression, and that has an effect on the neurotransmitter levels. Chromium, iron, and choline. Chromium is really key for blood sugar balance and low blood sugar balance, and in not being able to absorb the sugars into the cells can create neurotransmitter deficiencies, as well as iron and choline. Remember, choline is that direct precursor, and we saw iron, Fe, in a couple of the different reactions as a cofactor.